I got a lot of testimonies, but I'll share one of them. last week, actually, I felt like a pain and below my chin, and it felt like kind of like there was a nodule underneath my chin, and I didn't know what it was, but it was really very sore. And I was at work, and I talked to one of my coworkers that used to be a nurse, and she's like, "Oh, you need to get that checked out. That could be something infected or something." I was like, "Ew." But but when I came to church on Tuesday night, and it was still really sore, and we were just like, I walked in late, and we were just like the presence was so strong, and we were praising, and I just started like singing at the top of my lungs, and I was just singing and just worshiping. And then we started talking, somebody started talking about healing, and as the person was talking about healing, I was like, "Oh yeah, I've had this pain under my chin for quite a while now." And so then I like touched underneath my chin, I'm like, "I had a pain underneath my chin, but it's gone."
See more of that. People will walk in with depression. They'll go out with joy. People will walk in with something wrong with their body. They're worshiping God. Bam! That organ is hit by Holy Spirit. Why not? Why not? Why not?
We thank you, Lord, that you're our everything. We thank you, Lord, that we're here to cooperate with you, to co-labor with you, to receive your heart, to receive your love, to be filled up with you, to be overwhelmed by you, to carry your glory to the ends of the earth, Lord, to bring in the harvest in these last days, by your Spirit, in the power and authority of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we praise you today. We thank you that this is no little thing. This is why we are created, Lord, to release ourselves to you, to give you pleasure, that you could find a resting place in us. Today is a day, Lord God, where you're here in a very strong and powerful way, releasing more of the kingdom in our hearts around us, Lord, that we could celebrate you and that we could sense your nearness and your closeness, sense your presence, sense and also receive and pull in and draw into this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We lift up your banner of healing today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that many of us have come in with afflictions. Many of us have come in with areas in our bodies that have not felt strong. Wow. Yes, Lord. Father, we're just believing that this morning that there's going to be a divine release. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Just going to ask Justin to come up right now if he's here. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Are you here, Justin? Can you just pray? We're just going to pray for anybody who's not feeling well today physically. Justin was highlighted right now to me. So I'm just going to ask you to pray for those who aren't feeling well. Can you just raise your hand if you came in with something that's hurting and broken and just doesn't feel well at all? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the clean sweep today. Just whatever God puts on your heart, just go ahead and just pray.
Yeah. God, we just immerse God in your goodness right now, Father. We just go deep in your goodness, Father. From head to toe, Father, every part of us, God. We go deep, deep, deep into your goodness, Father. Thank you, God, for just drawing us here today, God. Thank you for for being here right now with us here today, with our families, God, everyone that you are inside, Father, and that we just see any sickness, God, we see any pain, we see any conditions, we see any diseases, Father, and we say no to those in Jesus' name, Father. We thank you for your goodness. We say yes to you. We have open and willing hearts. And we just say, you are welcome, Father. You are welcome here. You are welcome in our bodies, Father. And we just command, God, any bad reports from doctors, we just command those to be changed right now, to be brought back into your kingdom. We claim those now, those good reports, those testimonies, those miracles to come right now. Release, God, what needs to be released, God, to change our lives, our bodies, our sicknesses into health, our pains into comfort, God, our stress and depression into joy and overcoming, God, overcoming peace, Father, in our lives and our families, that everything, God, would change. It would be shifted right now because we stand behind a good God, a good Father. Thank you, God, for being there for us. God, through the darkest times, God, through the hopeless despair times, God, that right now we stand behind you no matter what it looks like around us, no matter what it feels like right now in our bodies, in our lives, God, in our situations, we say no to those and we cling on to you, God, and we claim you, God. Thank you, God, for being first into our lives, and we just ask for more of your presence, God, more of your goodness. We just thank you for what you want to release today, God, just through speaking into our hearts, through this message, God. We just receive. We have open hearts and willing bodies in Jesus' name. Is there anyone that has come in feeling something right now, and then anyone notice a change? Anything feel different? A new body? Anything right now? Jojo, you guys, do you feel a change right now in your body? Yeah? You want to come up? I know I'm standing. I actually just got a call from my mom this morning, and she was crying, very upset about one of our cousins has a condition where periodically the doctors don't know what it is, but just there's times when whenever he eats something, he just starts, you know, vomiting, and it's really bad, and the doctors say they don't know what it is, and they actually trying to get him on to Make-A-Wish Foundation and whatnot. And I believe that, you know, us here, when we are standing for our families, when we stand in that place where we know God's heart and we know his goodness and his faithfulness in our families, that he's going to change things in our families as well. So even for those that you're contending for outside of here that's not here today, I believe that there's going to be a change now. There's going to be a shift because God works in all of our areas of our lives and in our families as well. So, praise God.
Yes.
Jojo? Mm-hmm. So, did you feel, what did you feel coming in?
I felt sick.
What's that?
I felt sick.
You felt sick? Yeah, where did you feel sick?
My stomach.
Oh, your stomach? Okay. Does it hurt right now?
No.
No? Wow. And you asked Jesus to take that sickness away?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Praise God. Good job. God is so happy. Yeah.
Did you have something that was feeling not so good before Justin prayed? You want to point to it? Where was it? On your elbow? What happened?
A long time ago. Well, yesterday, I fell.
You fell? You fell on the ground? Yeah? And what did Jesus do for you?
He healed it.
What does it feel like now?
Better.
Did you move it around easily? Did it hurt when you moved it? Yeah, what can you do now with it? You want to show everybody? Does that hurt, Alex?
No.
Awesome. Praise the Lord. Cool.
Yeah. Is there anyone else right now feel anything different? See anything different? Anyone? Okay. Keep standing. We'll keep standing for that.
Thank you. You know, when the Lord moves in a meeting this size, or a meeting at our houses or wherever it would be, we just want to give him glory and praise, because he desires to bring healing to our bodies, and he desires to release the feeling inside and the sickness inside and the disease inside. And this house has seen many, many healings here and also in many countries. And we want to continue to not only allow, but invite the Lord to come in and take over and take control. I know for me, many times, I shared this yesterday at a meeting with women here in Frontline. And for me, I'm very blessed to have a husband who's very prophetic, who sees and sings in the Spirit, and sees in the Spirit. And I think I shared this on Tuesday as well for some. And many times when we're praying and there's something, there's a malady or something in me that's not good, some kind of sickness, he'll be praying for me and the Lord will give him a picture of what Jesus is actually doing as our high priest, as our healer. And I enter into that because I know it's from the Lord. I don't doubt that. I know he sees and I know he hears. And so it's very exciting to me to have some kind of manifestation that way of a supernatural happening, which doesn't have to occur. It's God's goodness. So even by faith with him praying, he calls me to enter in. But also when something comes out and he says, I see, or Jesus is, or whatever, then it is, as my faith enters into what God is actually doing, there's such a place of rest, such a place of assurance, and coming into that kind of agreement is very supernatural. So not only agreement with heaven, but also agreement with the messenger who's giving it, who is my husband. And I can tell you many, many, many times, virtually every time he prays for me that way, I'm healed. And it's amazing to me. And so I know that God is here and I know he's doing that. And sometimes we don't believe that we see what we see, we hear what we hear. And the little ones are raising up to be able to do the very things that God is calling us to do. And he loves to help them experience those things right now, not just in kingdom land. So if there's anybody that is not feeling well right now and is trusting and believing that God is moving in our midst, if you've been feeling any type of increase, like, wow, I don't know why, but I can move that arm, I feel a little bit better. If there's any type of increase going on right now, just raise your hand. Is there anybody who's feeling that? Michael? Who is that? Oh, Luke. Luke's feeling. Is that Leslie? You're feeling better, Leslie? Can you come up for a second? Just tell us what you're feeling. Now you may think, well, let's get on with the message. This is. Jesus is here. So your hand wasn't up before, but as you saw some things that God was doing and maybe heard some testimony of what the Lord's been doing for me in my life, what started to happen, Les?
Well, I've been having this shoulder issue for quite a while now, and it was bothering me this morning, and I've done everything I can through over-counter stuff. I haven't gone really to the doctor, but the doctor is aware. But today it was hurting and it was bothering me, and I was kind of had a rough weekend, and it just aggravated it even more. But today it was hurting, and I started moving it a little bit more. And it's not constantly pain all the time, but it was irritating, and now it feels a lot better than what it was. So I can do full range right now. It was hindering. I couldn't do this all the time. So, and Nikki and Nandy can attest to the pain and everything like that. Just keep moving. Yeah, this is good.
Not in pain. How does it feel? It
feels awesome. So thank you, Lord. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, thank you, Lord, for just continuing that in Leslie. Thank you, Lord, that we're comfortable in your presence, Lord. We're comfortable with your works. We're comfortable with you being here. We're comfortable with you showing up because we're created for this. This is supernatural, normal living. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How's it feeling now, Leslie?
Feels good. Woohoo!
Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, Spence, you have something? What happened? When did you notice that there was a change? Because it's kind of interesting to me that the little children immediately shot their hands up and ran up here. Oh, wow. Do I understand that? No. But God is good. So let's just be as little children and receive as they did. And however that all works, I just like it. So let's just see what God's continuing to do inside of us. So what happened to you and when?
Well, actually, my shoulder, I've had sharp stabbing pains in it for quite a while. They come and go, come and go, come and go. But it was really bad Friday night, and a group prayed for me, and it went. Like, it was totally gone. But then the next day, like last night, I woke up, and my whole shoulder, it wasn't a sharp stabbing pains, but it was just hurting, like, all over, like, just sore. And that started last night. Well, today, when I was sitting there, and as Pastor Mary Pat spoke, I just felt heat. Like, and if you know for soreness, heat is good. So I just felt that change from a soreness to a heat in my shoulder. And actually, I'm not feeling the sharp pain at all anymore right now. So it's good. I still feel the heat, but that's good. So I'm declaring I love the heat. So Jesus.
Are you catching that on video? Oh, that's awesome. That's good. Didn't even have to tell them that they got it turned on. Because we want to proclaim, we want to catch these things so that other people can watch that and go, he had pain, now he doesn't. He couldn't move his shoulder or his arm, now he can't. That's really cool. I love it. I really like that. I know that, Richard, do you have change? A little bit of change? Mm-hmm. Your spirits are higher as you've been communicating with Pastor Bill, and he's been praying for you. Well, that's good. Well, we're going to believe that you're continuing to increase. Yeah. Your spirits are up here and your body's catching up. You've been talking to Pastor Bill. Yes, he has been talking to you. Richard's been close and up close and personal, so we're believing that that's going to change for him.
So talk to Pastor Bill. Your spirits will go from down here up to here.
That's really cool. Cameron called me the other day. You're here, aren't you, Cameron? Hey! Cameron's leg was broken. Do you want to come up here? Are you still on crutches? Are you on the boot? Okay. Now, I was with some ladies yesterday and told them a little bit of his testimony, very little, and then you shared some last night at the Edge, right? Because I wasn't there for that. I'm so glad to see you. I love this guy. Anyway, do you want to just share with them what happened? And just before he does, let me tell you this. When he called me this week, because I called before that to say how are you, we're praying for you and all that, I was standing in my kitchen smiling because he's telling me about this broken leg. But the whole time was, but let me tell you how good God is. As a result, not because he's saying, let's go break a leg so this can happen. No, no, no. But as a result, let me share with you the goodness of God. Here's what God is doing for me. Here's what he's done for me. I was so encouraged, you know, by the end of the phone call. But I do want to hear what you have to say of what God has done for you.
Well, first I wanted to say, God is always good. So he's not going to do something bad to then... He's not going to take something away then give you something great. He just wants to give you something great all the time. So he did not break my leg for this awesomeness stuff to happen afterwards. So, but 3 weeks ago yesterday, I broke my leg playing baseball. I didn't know it was broke. And for 3 to 4 days, I was participating on it, running, sprinting, working out, doing all that jazz, all types of lateral movement. And had a horrible pain, felt like a cramp. Saw my trainer, did some testing. He's like, ooh, I don't like that. Got an x-ray, it was broke. He's like, great, my season's done. This is horrible. But for it to be broken, it actually broke in the best way possible, if that's even a good thing at all. But it broke left to right. It's literally a perfect cut, so it will heal properly. Yeah, it's literally left to right. So there's no shards, there's no shedding, no bone fragments anywhere. And it stayed in line for all 3 to 4 days that I was participating on it. And exercising, sprinting, jumping, everything. So, yeah, it's all the, basically what I'm saying is all the movements that I was doing, it should have slipped out of place. For as clean as it is, you know, it should have slipped out of place. I should probably be getting surgery, you know, to get nails put in it to put it back in line. But no, it stayed in line the whole time, and it really shouldn't have done that. It really should have slipped out of place with all the activities that I was doing. But with the, where am I going with this? Oh, but with a broken leg, you know, my season's done now. I get redshirted, which means I get a whole another season of play. And with that whole another season of play, I get a whole another year of school paid for. So now I will be, instead of just having one degree, I'll be graduating with 2 degrees, both accounting and finance. So with, you know, the horribleness of, you know, my season ending, you know, I get a broken leg. You know, God took this, you know, crappy situation and literally just upgraded me even more. So, and, you know, a couple of people were praying for me, you know, sending me words through Facebook, all that jazz. Peter sent me a message. There he is. Hi. He says, Cameron, I'm praying for you. Get ready for an upgrade. And I received that. And also, once the bone is fully healed, the doctor said, Cameron, once it's fully healed, it should be much stronger than it was before. So I'll take that. It's another upgrade. So, am I forgetting something? Am I forgetting? Oh. Yesterday, I went to see my baseball team play University of Toledo versus Kent State. Unfortunately, we lost, but it's okay. I was sitting in front of 3 gentlemen. Who were there watching the game. They're professional scouts, and they were actually talking about the game that I pitched in that I broke my leg, and I was like, oh, that was me. Yeah, I broke my leg. I ran over first base looking like an idiot and tripped and fell and all that jazz. He's like, oh, hey, you're Cameron. You're Cameron Palmer. I was like, hey, you pitched a really good game that day. The game I pitched against broke my leg. I was actually pitching against the number 9 team in the nation, so I pitched really well, and all 3 of the scouts were like, oh, hey, hi. How are you? So, you know, it was just cool that, but that's what the scouts were. That was just yesterday that happened. That was really cool. Yeah, I think that's all.
Okay, now, since God's doing something, what would you like to see happen in your leg?
Well, I'd like it to be fully healed.
I think we can agree with that. Sooner than later, right?
Sooner than later, yes.
That's the idea. Is there anybody who's feeling better as we're hearing and listening to Cameron? Is there anybody who's sensing that any of the pain or any of the ugh they had when they came in is going? Oh, a couple more hands. Isn't that interesting? Can you guys, ladies, come up here then? I'm going to ask Cameron to pray for you. Is that all right, Cameron? Oh, yes. Carrie, I'm just going to give the microphone to Cameron. Oh, and Courtney's here, so you'll have to check out what they're doing here.
Ooh. What's hurting on you?
I have the congestion.
Congested, all that just stuffiness?
Yeah.
And what's wrong with you? Oof. Ow. Yeah. Oh. Courtney had surgery on her collarbone. And you're congested? Like, you got all this
gooey for past
3 weeks. Gooey? Yeah, I don't like that. Nobody.
Can't breathe, can't do nothing. I've been sleeping for the past 3 weeks.
Well, that sounds awesome, but other than the... I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. No. No. Well, let's all stand. Let's all stand. I'm up here standing. You all can stand too. Okay. We're all standing and we're all here together, family.
Oh, you can, yeah. Just some digestive stomach issues. So I just jumped up here.
Stomach, nose, and collarbone, and broken leg issues up here today. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we humbly come before you as a body, as a family, Lord. We're just all standing for you, for all of us. Everybody, anybody who has a problem with a body, an organ, an aching, within your heart, you know, it doesn't have to be a body issue. It could be something within your heart, for yourself, for those around you, for your family, for just even a person you walk by down the street, Lord. We just ask for them to want to get to know you, Lord. Not only just to get to know you, Lord, but to realize who you are, what you represent, your love, for them to know who you are, your goodness, that you are always good, and for anything that comes and dampens their day, Lord, that it's not from you, that you are always looking down on us with love, that we are all each your favorite, that in front of you, Lord, we are perfect. We are beside you right now, Lord. And we just ask you in Jesus' name that you just completely heal my broken leg. Heal the congested, take out all the gooiness, Lord. Just right now, I don't know how you want to take that out, drain it out, or just take it out, just completely do away with it right now in Jesus' name, Lord. Just no more congestion, just take it away, because we are perfect by you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we just want to take and, oof, the collarbone. Just make it one. Actually, you don't have to renew it. You don't have to make it better. Just give it a whole new collarbone, Lord. That can happen in Jesus' name. And for stomach issues, let's just ask for a whole new stomach too. Might as well. Why not, huh? And for anybody else who's dealing with any issues, a new heart, new anything, any organ in the body, we just ask in Jesus, everybody stand in alignment for healing and a new freshness of everything, Lord. A new freshness of everything. Heart, lungs, kidneys, liver, whatever, you name it. We will all stand for that to happen. Just newness. You know, we're not going to reshuffle, not shuffling the deck. We're just going to get a whole new deck of cards, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Is anybody experiencing any change at all?
Yeah, I felt a tingling, like, you know, when your leg falls asleep and you get that tingling. I just felt that kind of in my problem area, so I think that is a healing. Also, I feel full of the joy of the Lord when you prayed, so that's awesome.
Well, I myself, when I walked in here this morning, was feeling a little bit of pain. You know, I have my days on, my days off, but right now it's not hurting as much. So it's not even hurting right now, my leg. Wow. And I walked in here like, so, yeah. So I'm feeling better. Yay. Anybody feeling better?
More from Courtney. When I came in, it was hurting really bad. And like, even after I take the pain meds, it hurts really bad. But then today it just started not hurting as bad.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let's ask more for Courtney, Lord. Yes. Just full, complete healing in Jesus' name. Full healing for her, even like winging around if she wants to. We can play catch later today if she can. Just joking. Are you feeling anything? Is the gooey? Is it still gooey?
It cleared up. I don't feel nothing.
Can you breathe?
I feel.
There's still a little more. Let's get more.
Morning, I literally couldn't breathe. It's like I was in the bathroom every 20 minutes, like this morning. Blowing my nose, I'm like, now it's starting. I haven't really blown my nose since I've been here, so it's been good.
So you're feeling better? You're feeling better? She's crying. She's feeling better. You don't have pain. I think that's a good day. Come on. Can we give praise and thanksgiving to the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. You guys can sit down. That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, anybody else before we transition to whatever else he wants to do? Does anybody else feel a change in their body? That's Angie has something?
For about the past 3 to 4 weeks or so, I've been having a real problem with my back. I had jarred a problem area back there, and I was in immense pain when I came in here today, and it actually started letting up as everybody was praying, you know, as Justin was praying for prayer. It was starting to kind of like fade. And then when I stood up and when Cameron called us all to stand up or whatever, that's when I noticed that the pain was completely gone. Yeah.
Come on.
This is the first time in 4 weeks that it hasn't hurt. So, yeah.
Well, that call to stand up, Cameron, that was good. Amen. And whatever God wanted to do. And thanks for listening to what he said. You didn't know why, maybe. It's like, okay, he said to stand, I will. I mean, God honors crazy faith. He really does. So praise God. Anybody else before we take the kids into another place here? Did you have something? Okay. Got a bottle.
Yeah, I was having a little bit of congestion and just a little bit of a sore throat. My throat is still a little bit sore, but I mean, I can breathe completely clearly. So.
All right, praise the Lord. Come on. That's a big deal. All of it is. Anytime the Lord's moving. Anybody else? Oh, don't you love it when the Lord does what he does because he is who he is? Isn't that great? That's awesome. Well, let's just, the children can go to Kingdom Land if they will. Enjoy. Okay. All right. Oh, sorry. Praise God. Isn't that exciting? No? Yeah. I think it is. I really believe it is. And I believe we're seeing an increase. And I think that God is wanting to say to us, hey, guys, I don't want you to miss that I haven't left and I'm still doing these things. And I want you to know that you can do them too. And this is very, very exciting. We're very unconventional in that sense. Without having a program and a ritual or anything. And we just want to move with what the Lord seems to be saying and doing. And I don't know about you, but I'm all about freedom. And inviting people to come into a place of freedom and be able to be free of any bondages and heartaches and sicknesses and such. So I wanted to ask Jordan, I know he's on kingdom duty here, so I wanted to ask Jordan to share something briefly. I know he's been going through a process in determining whether he's going to be on our Mozambique team this year for this summer. And he has expressed to me that he had a real yes in his heart that he wanted to do this, but had a bit of a potential stumbling block in getting there and is in that process right now. And so we've been talking the last week or so, different times. And I said, so what are you feeling? What are you thinking? What's God doing? And he initially received a no. Then he went to the Lord for, well, now what do I do? How do I progress through that? And he gave him a dream, I believe, right? A dream? Okay. So I wanted to share that dream and then share the outcome of that dream and the process that he's in briefly to build our faith for what he wants to release next, I believe, this morning. So,
thank you. So as Pastor Mary Pat's been saying, it's been a process. And I think one thing that God's been speaking to me is a testimony doesn't come when it's 100% complete in the natural, but it's when you know that the testimony's been given already in the spirit. And I claim that. And so it's already been given. So a while back, a couple months ago, last year actually, I approached my boss and said, it's really on my heart to go to Mozambique. I went last year for the first time, and God was really moving in my life and still is. And I told her, I said, I need to go to Mozambique. And her response was, we can't let employees go for 3 weeks straight. It's just, we've never done that before. We can't afford it. It's not going to happen. And so I work right now as a clinical pharmacist at a specialty mail order pharmacy. So, you know, we're dealing with a lot of different patients, and so getting that initial no, taking it back to the Lord and said, God, is this, you know, this is a pretty, it was a hard no. It wasn't, well, maybe let's revisit it down the line. It was, I'm sorry, I can't allow you to do that. There's company policy that, you know, you can't go that long. So I'm taking this back to the Lord. I'm like, that door is closed in the natural. It's pretty closed. So, over the course of months, you know, I keep revisiting God and communing with Him and saying, God, is this what you want? You know, we have other mission trips and, you know, is this what you want from me? And that was one of the boss's suggestions. Well, maybe you can go on another mission trip. Maybe you could go for second best. Maybe you could do something else. And I'm not feeling peace with this. And I'm like, I really want to go to Mo's. So, this last week, you know, as we're preparing to, you know, get the team together and commit to it, I bring it up again and I ask her again, if this is a possibility. I'm willing to come in Saturdays, work, you know, 12-hour days, whatever it takes. I'm willing. I came to the point with the Lord. I said, God, I know this is from you. I know this is my desire of my heart. I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to miss out on other opportunities or, you know, give up Saturdays to go. And the Lord that this last week, last Wednesday night, I was just really, this was the second time I approached my boss and she said, it's not going to happen. She reaffirmed that. And so I took it to the Lord that night and I just felt like there's all these different things. There's my desires. There's, you know, other influences. There's my boss. There was situation, circumstances. And I just said, God, I don't want to read, you know, what all the writing is on the wall. I just want to read what's on your heart. And so I went before Him in the quiet place and I said, I give it all to you. What is it? What do you really want? Is this for you, for me to go to Moses this year? You know, I know there's going to be other opportunities. Is this what you want? And I just heard Him say yes. And I actually, earlier that night, I had a dream where I was running from tree to tree, these fruit trees, and I saw all these fruit up in the trees, and I was like jumping, trying to get it, and I couldn't reach it. I wasn't even close. And I'm frantically, well, maybe the next tree will have, you know, I can reach some there. I couldn't reach any of it, so I'm just exhausted because I'm running back and forth on my own power, and it's just not good enough, quite frankly. And so I'm just exhausted. I sit down next to this tree, and I'm sitting there on this trunk, and I just have my hands out. I'm just like, God, like, what am I supposed to do about this fruit? And right then, this fruit just falls from the tree above me and lands right in my open hand. And I'm like, I was just exhaustedly running from tree to tree and I couldn't get any fruit. And then I sit down and I listen to you and fruit goes into my open hand. And so for me, he was speaking that, you know, in the last couple of months or several months, 6-7 months since I've been trying to, you know, do everything I can in my own power to, you know, go to Mo's, I've been getting a hard no. I'm like, I can do this, I can do that, I can do, you know, and my boss is like, no. So after receiving this, vision, the next day I go in and the first thing I want to do after getting the yes from God, I was just so eager. The first thing I went into work and I was going to walk right up to my boss and I was going to say, I try to explain to her, this is what God told me. And she wasn't in her office all day. She's actually in a meeting in another building all day. So I'm sitting there, like, just getting work done. And I keep looking up. I'm like, when is she going to come in? Because as soon as she comes in, I'm going to go over to her office and I'm going to talk to her about this. And actually, last Sunday, I forget if it was Pastor Bill or Andy, but they were saying, like, you know, when Paul was on a journey, you know, he didn't move north, south, east, or west without God. He always listened to God, like, where to move. And so I was sitting there in my desk, and my boss isn't there, and I just felt God was saying, patience, patience. And I was reminded of that apple landing in my open hand. I didn't go out to that tree and grab it with my own hands. I sat there, and I received it. And so it came around 5 o'clock, 5:30. My boss finally came back and she was packing up ready to go home. And she comes over to my office and, we started talking and I realized that this was the moment. And we started talking about actually daily schedules. And I was like, well, you know, actually I wanted to talk about Mo's again to kind of see if there's any, you know, changes or any possibility that this might be an option. And I expected her to say, well, no, I already said no to that. And it wasn't. There was a complete change in her heart and in her demeanor. She's like, well, let me talk to the vice president of the company. Let me go higher up. So I was like, okay, yeah, you know, that's different. You know, you didn't say that just a couple of days ago. So I actually come in, I emailed her the dates again last night, and she said, she came back the next day, she said, well, I'm actually going to be out, and again, you know, we can't have two pharmacists out. So I'm like, I feel like I'm on this roller coaster. So I asked her, I said, well, you mentioned about talking to the vice president, and I don't know if I've told you about this part. And she's like, yeah. And I was like, well, do you mind if I shoot her an email? You know, see if there's any way that she can do it. She said, yeah. Because initially I was a little, you know, going above my boss. Said, you know, you have to be sensitive about that. But she gave me permission to go, basically go above her authority. And I emailed my vice president, which is a person that actually got me the job I'm at. And so she was the doorway into this job, and she also has been very interested when I went last year to Mozambique. And so I know her heart's receptive to missions. So when I sent her an email on Friday, she to asking if we could meet up, talk about it, she actually was leaving for travel, but she sent back, and one of the things she said is, I know this is very important. She didn't say, I know it's important for you. She said, I know it's important. And it's important for her. And she said, I'm willing to work on creative ideas to make this happen. So she didn't actually give me a yes, but she said, I'm going to do whatever it takes in my power. And she's way up in natural power at the company. And she said, we're going to make creative ideas to make this happen. So to me, and this is just confirming the yes that I got from God. So, you know, I know I'm going, and whatever creative idea, whatever sacrifice, I say yes to God, because, you know, I'm willing to give that out for his yes, his best.
That's an awesome testimony. How many of you feel stronger after just hearing that? Even if you're not going to Mo's. Because he's giving glory to the Lord, and he's cooperating with the plan and the presence and the ways of God. God's doing things, and we want to just tap into what he's doing. So many times we do whatever we want and say, would you bless that place? And it's the other way around. And so when we talked, thank you so much, Jordan. And when we talked several different times, you know, he said, well, I'll let you know what's going on. And he says, what do you think I should do? I said, well, my thought would be spend time with the Lord, rest in his presence and hear from him, and he'll tell you what to do and when to do it. Okay. Do you think I should go talk to the president or vice president tomorrow? I said, you know what? If we step out of God's timing, we can botch things up, because then it could be harder as we go around the barn again and again, and who knows what the outcome would be. So I really think it's good for you to spend time resting in the Lord, hearing what he's saying, seeking his presence, and then be at peace with whatever that is. But along with that, be ready to move quickly, whatever it is. So I didn't know about him sending that email, but that's the moving part that he needed to do. And then initially offering the dates and such like that, and then receiving a no. So the one thing I asked him was, do you have a yes in your heart to go to Mo's? And he goes, I do. I really do. And he was pretty discombobulated the day that he got the final no that wasn't really final, in a sense of, oh, this is so hard. I said, well, listen, many of us have been through similar things, just saying, God, what are you saying? Is it really a no? Or are you raising the bar in such a way, you're going to teach me something through this? Teach me what it means to rest in you. Teach me what it looks like. Teach me through this. Not teach me through a no, an official final no, but teach me through a no that can be changed into a yes. Because the Lord does have the last word. He is in control. But he works with our yes. He works with that, which is a majority of the message here. So, you know, this is a practical example of the Lord just showing up in a way that's blessing, but he works with our hunger. He works with our desire. That's why I asked him those questions. What do you want to do? I really want to be there. Do you feel this is the timing? I do. Okay. Well, let's see what God will do, and then press into that and watch God use you as an influencer. Can you imagine that the vice president will come back and say, wow, I have been used to hear creative ideas. Whether she gives glory to God initially or not, we'll believe that she will in the future, because Jordan will probably have a part in that. When he goes and comes back with all the testimony and speaks to her, or however God wants to do it. But God's always interested in not just sending Jordan to Mozambique to do what needs to be done or can be done there, but also how can he be an influential person in the realm, in the sphere of influence that he's put him in, that God's put him in. And I love that. So as we agree to watch the creative juices and power flow, it's not coming from only what God is doing and has done in Jordan, but also the Lord moving and influencing through Jordan, through all of this, the people that he wants to so touch in the world. Don't know where that lady's coming from or anybody else she'll speak to, but there's something inside of her that says yes because she knows it's important. How does she know it's important? There's a knowing that God has given her, maybe from the past experience, maybe from watching Jordan, maybe just a divine connection between she and the Lord. We don't know that yet, but we do know that God wants to spread his goodness. So all of you who have been healed already today, you have a testimony. And so you become the testimony as you share the testimony so that others will have a testimony and they'll continue to do that. So praise the Lord for that. That's just really beautiful. Amen. Just want to put a couple scriptures up here to kind of back up some of the testimony and the demonstration of the supernatural work of God, which is what we're doing here, just to say, God, we worship you. We gather together in your name because you want us to be up close and personal with you and with each other. You're looking for our hearts to burn. So Bethany, if you don't mind, if you can put up on the screen the Romans verse, Romans 12:11. And if you want to take notes on this, guys, this might be a helpful thing, because I believe the Lord's raising the bar for our study and infiltration in the Word of God for ourselves personally. So Romans 12:11 and Matthew 24:12b, if you can put that up as well. And then the 1 Corinthians verses, chapter 3 and 6, and then Zechariah, if you can put those all up, okay? So if you see it, the amplified versions of Romans 12:1, it says, never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Okay, that sounds really wordy and flowery and exciting. Okay, Lord, that's what I want. In the NASB, it says, be fervent in the Spirit, which in fervency is explained. Yeah, fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in the Spirit. Serving the Lord. And the Greek word for fervent is zoe. And that word actually means boiling, to be at a boiling point. Isn't that interesting? So if the Lord is saying, I want you to serve me from a point of boiling, I want you to be boiling up. Think of a pot of water that's boiling. Think of the when you put cold water on a pot on the stove, think of what God wants to do with that as you turn the heat up. And it's going to cause the water to become warm and then very hot, and the water will begin to boil. And we know that anything can happen with boiling water. It can be very good to cook our food or to purify what's going on, what could be in that water. But it also can be something that can be very dangerous, very hot if we put our finger in unprotected. And God wants us to see that our fervency and our boiling in the Spirit for him, because he's a consuming fire, is something very healthy. And he's saying, I want you to boil over with me. So everything that you touch, because you're so hot, you're so on fire, everything will be changed. And my hotness working through you, through my boiling fervency inside of you, will create such a glow in you that people will be drawn to you. There'll be things that will be burned up that are not of the kingdom in my presence because of the boiling fervency that you have. And you're serving me this way. So watch out, enemy. You're in my way. In other words, if I want to send and I want to put the desire inside of Jordan, because he was created to carry that desire, if I want to put that inside of him, there's a way for him to boil up and for things to be moved out of the way. But one thing that Jordan said to me, and I didn't even ask him this, it was just interesting. He's been picking this up more and more. But he said to me, you know, I've been really searching the Lord through many of the messages that we've had here. I've been searching the Lord. Is there anything that would prevent me from being able to literally be on fire? He didn't even know about this message. To be on fire, to be able to position myself for the miraculous, to position myself for what God wants to do. Is there anything that God would want to move out of the way? And I've been asking the Lord, and you know, it's nothing, some glaring thing, but just saying, God, I want that purification. In other words, purify me, Lord, was his heart and is his heart. It's not to highlight Jordan, it's to give glory to the testimony, really, that God is trying to birth through him and all of us. So he's saying, I want to purify you from anything that would keep you from boiling, being at that boiling point where you're fervent in prayer, fervent in spirit, fervent in serving. And if you think about it, when you become very, very, very hot, when we're boiling, we are attracted to others who are hot and boiling in the spirit. I'm boiling up for Jesus. I'm just so consumed by him that I'm boiling more and more and more. And I want to be near. I want to be around that boiling, because when coals in a fire, if you think of a fire bed outside, some of you Boy Scouts or former Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or whatever, or campers in Mozambique or whatever, if you have embers that are burning and they start separating and they start kind of being put for whatever reason, or taken out and spread out away from all the other coals or all the other burning embers, that fire eventually will dissipate and go out. But when they gather together and they're burning together, what happens? That fire is rekindled, that spark is lit, and the inferno starts to rise. And so God wants that for each one of us, to be boiling over fervently, serving him, loving him, resting in him. And with that fervency, together, collectively, there's going to be a raging, consuming fire. And that's going to be very effective. So, for example, Jordan goes into his pharmaceutical job, and he's burning with the Lord, burning, boiling over with joy, peace, desire for the king and his kingdom ways, both king and kingdom ways, and is willing to lay down, go low, and say, here I am, spend time with him, and then go into this zone of the world by himself. But he's not. He's with the Holy Spirit. So he and the Holy Spirit are a majority. And so when they show up in an office, they're glowing together and affects the people around him to move into what they were created to do. This boss of his is created to come up with creative ideas to help their people, help her people rise in what they're going to do for productivity. So she doesn't know that saying yes or getting a yes for Jordan is going to make a difference in her company. She doesn't even know that yet. She just knows it's important. God knows how important it is. He wants to bless her, bless that company, bless that area, bless all spheres of influence, and he wants us to be the burning ones. Amen? Isn't that fun? So if we look at the next scripture, the next one is, that was Romans 12:11. Hebrews 3:4. I think the other one I wanted you to put up there, Bethany, was Romans, Matthew 24. Do you have that one? Okay. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. Okay, we're talking about love here for our Father first. This is a scripture for the end times, for the last days, and we are in some aspect of the last days. And a couple of weeks ago, I was preaching a little bit about this and gave some signs of the times. If you weren't here, be a good scripture or a good message to listen to, that will kind of probably pique your interest or bring something up where you, I want to learn more about where we are, what are the seasons that we're in. But this is a scripture also to piggyback that, because lawlessness will increase and most people's love will grow cold. Well, the love, first of all, true love will be only given, is only given from the Father. So the connection between Father and son and daughter is intended by the enemy to be interrupted. There are many scriptures in Hebrews, which we're going to look at in a moment, where the author is speaking to the brethren. The brethren, those are those who are saying, I know Jesus, or I want to come closer to Jesus. Brethren are people who are in the brotherhood. And so God is saying to us, he's saying, not only will this happen outside where people in the world will have an aspect of the love that they share and give away, which is not necessarily a full representation of Father's love in heart, but it's some aspect of love, because love is of God, because God is love. But all people will be affected in the last days of what the enemy wants to do. He wants to get Christians off course. He wants to stomp them down so they're down, they're depressed, they're debilitated, they're blaming, they're negative, they're just just feeling all kinds of ick on the inside, rather than hopeful, bright, expectant, and looking up and walking in the supernatural, in the miraculous, so they will continue to burn, continue to boil over, continue to affect change in their life and the places of influence around them. So people's love will grow cold. Why? Because the enemy will be successful in whatever degree to be able to separate people from the fire. And when the people who carry the true fire of God are burning together, and there's that collective, collaborative gatheringness of people, that's a good thing. Now, if we're gathering under the influence or the banner of negativity or gossip, that's not a good gathering. But if we're gathering under the influence of true love and peace and joy and rest in the Holy Spirit, and guarding ourselves against those kinds of things, then we will boil up and boil over. And we will be able to be the ones that we affect, that affect change. So God is speaking, brethren, beware. Brethren, take heed. Brethren, watch what you do, because this is what's going to happen. Don't be part of it, and also be used to stop it. Well, if it's going to happen, why should I stop it? Because God's a rescuer and a restorer, and he's saying, come on, bring people along with you. But if any of us or any brethren in the family of God are not boiling over, then we'll miss these kinds of signs, and the enemy will be able to be somewhat successful. And it might look really, really hard and nasty and bad. So somewhat successful is really bad when it comes to the enemy. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't even be able to stand. So the Lord has held back the full wrath of the enemy, but he still has a lot of power and a lot of authority, but Jesus is greater. Okay, so let's look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 Corinthians 6. We'll look at both of them. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Okay, we all know, or many of us have heard, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. But dwelling in us and finding a resting place in us look like two different things, potentially, depending on our journey, depending on where we are with the Lord. He lives inside of us if we're born again, because Scripture tells us that as we study with the Holy Spirit. But he's wanting to do more than just hang out inside. He wants to move freely. He wants to be our living commander. He wants to be our living hope. He wants to be the one in charge, in control, fully, so that we are listening to what he says. And our mind, our thinking, our emotions, our will are influenced by him living on the inside. So let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20 reads, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" We don't belong to ourselves anymore. We never really did, but we think we do. This is my life. This is my world. This is my body. This is my. Well, this scripture says, no, that's not true. It says, you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Okay, this is a scripture that many people use to say, well, then don't do this and don't do that and don't do this and don't do that. Well, then other Christians will say, I have the freedom to do anything I want. Yeah, but I think you should do this or you should do that. The Holy Spirit inside is the one who works with us. And there are very, very, very clear scriptural guidelines along with the freedom to be who we are. And so how do we know? We dive into him, into the Holy Spirit, and we contend for him to find us as a resting place. He already lives there, but he wants to rest there. Now, what does it mean to rest there inside of us? To not be upset, to not be agitated, to not be grieved, to not be stopped, to not be quenched. The Holy Spirit inside wants to find wow, this is a place of peace, because I am peace. This is a place of rest. I am rest. This is a place of joy. This is a place of mercy. This is a place of glory. Oh, that's right, I'm here. And so that person is not working out of who they really can be if they want, which is their emotions, their mind, their will, their thinking. And so he's saying, kids, I want you to change. I want to be in charge. I really do. And you may think that I'm in charge, and you may have a problem coming up, or you may sense that there's something that isn't quite right, and you could be right. So let's see what the scripture has to say about that. We'll take a look at what God's word says in Hebrews. But God is saying, as you're glorifying, as we're glorifying him in our bodies, he's saying that we are becoming more and more of a temple, a place, a sanctuary where he is free to move, free to be worshiped, free to worship in spirit and in truth. That's who we are. And God is wanting us to see that he is building that inside. He's looking for people. He's looking for ministries. He's looking for families. He's looking for clusters of unity, of real unity, which only comes through spiritual agreement of what he's saying and doing, even with our diversity. Interesting, isn't it? And so spiritual unity, the Lord is pleased. He shows up. He liked it when we started talking about him and healing. He showed up in greater authority, greater power. There was more of a release, and he used us in the process. He says, you know what? Let's just see what you want to do with this. Sometimes the sense is, Lord, just heal everybody. We don't have to touch anyone. Open our mouths. And he does that too. There are other times when he works this way as he did today. And you could see the testimonies were growing. People were increasing. Look at this. I looked around and I saw everybody smiling. Why? Because God showed up again as we're worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Okay? Sometimes we can just feel good in worship because he's here. And it might still some of the junk we carry, but it might not get rid of it in fullness because it needs our cooperation. So God says, worship me in spirit and in truth. So we need the healthy balance of what the word of God is saying to us. And Lord, I am crying out. I want you to build me up as your holy temple, a place of extreme worship, a place where anything that comes my way that really isn't what is going on and happening in heaven, I just don't want to be part of it. I don't want it because it bothers me, because it bothers Holy Spirit in me, and that's who I'm becoming. That's where he's taking us more and more. That's being presence-oriented. That's being presence-centered. That's being, I'm going after his presence. It's not enough in these last days to say, God loves me and I'm sure of it. That's really true, and it's great to be sure. That's not minimizing that truth. But the Lord says, because of that love, you will obey me. And you will see what my word says. You will be driven to that if you really believe that I love you as you say, because that will be the outcome. So sometimes we say these things, but inside we're still anxious, we're still fearful, we're still depressed because we want something to happen. We want. And the Lord is saying, I am here. I have things in the spirit for you. I want you to learn to flow with the rhythm of my heartbeat. I have a heartbeat, and I want your heart to beat with mine, not apart from mine. I want the chambers of your heart to match up with mine. I want your heart to be swallowed up in my heart. And then you'll be okay, even when there are tough times, even as there are tough times. I was reading Heidi Baker, reading a book that she has put out, and I wanted to just read something that blessed me, where she was referring to staying full of the oil of the Holy Spirit. And she had been very, very sick. This is a few years back. Extremely sick. She says, I was fighting the good fight, but I was desperate. I felt that God showed me there is a spiritual fight we are waging together. Its outcome determines whether or not we stay full of the oil of the Holy Spirit. Finishing our task involves warfare. Sometimes we must accept its trials. I told the Lord to have his will and to make me a resting place for the Holy Spirit. That's kind of a dangerous prayer. And I heard Heidi say once, I'm really learning what it means to rest in him. I thought I was. But he's showing me, maybe there's a whole lot more. So this was her prayer, make me a resting place for the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we step out in faith for God, and it doesn't appear to work. Have you ever done that? God, I think you're telling me this. And so these are the steps I'm taking. And it didn't happen. Or it got sabotaged. Or I sabotaged it. Or someone sabotaged it. Either way, it's not working or whatever. Have you ever done that? She says. Sometimes we get too nervous to try again. We give up. But God wants to take that fear out of us. Can you put Zechariah 2:5 up for me, Bethany, please? Now remember, God wants us to be boiling over, right? New American Standard reads, "For I," in Zechariah 2:5, "For I, declares the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst." This is what God says about us as he finds this resting place. He says, my intention is to declare and to keep and move and keep a wall of fire around us, and I will be glory in her midst. In other words, I want to be the one who is noticed. I want to be the one who is seen. I want to receive the glory. I want to expand our hearts, yours and mine, to have a greater capacity for the glory of God to be carried all over the world. I want to expand our hearts for the end time harvest, your hearts, my heart, for the end time harvest. It will come as he protects us, as he surrounds us as a wall of fire, but he's also increasing us in the area of being able to carry the very glory of the resurrected Jesus on the inside. Is that amazing? Look at this promise. Claim it for yourself. Write it down. That's who you are. That's who I am. And God, why do I feel so down? Well, I don't have what I thought. No. God gives us the answer in a different way. And then he can bring about something. Jordan got a no. But God's turning that no into a yes. But it has to be God's way. Really? Who knows what would have happened if he wasn't positioning himself that way? We're not God. But God does give us the know-how to turn no's into a yes. And sometimes it's no and it stays no. But if there is a yes and we get that yes from the Lord, then there's a way to go about not getting what we want because we don't belong to ourselves, but so determining that we will be fervent in our life and our serving for Jesus, that whatever it takes, that's what I want. Lord, I'm contending to become a resting place for you. But in order to do that, we have to enter into his rest. Are you hearing that? Two things. Number one, we need to contend. Lord, I need to enter into your rest, which is a place of trust, hope, complete abandonment, a posture of heart that I want more of you. Not I want my answer, I want more of you. The answer is the result of that. And then number two is, Lord, turn me into a resting place. I want to contend to enter into your rest. And then number two, turn me into a resting place. I want to become a resting place for you. I'm willing. Those two things. Let's jump into Hebrews. I just have a real burden to go into Hebrews for... We'll see how long God tells me to do this, but at least for today, and we'll see about the next time I preach. But I really want to show you some things in the Amplified Version. I've just been having so much fun in Hebrews, and the Lord is wanting us to discover more of this. Let me just tell you that in Hebrews chapter 3, let's bring it down to, because of time, verse 12 and 13. 11, 12, and 13. Can we do that? Just bring it down a little bit. I'm going to get it in my... Yeah. Because you should have the whole chapter up there, right? So Hebrews 3, 11, 12, 13. Can you help her with that? Yeah. Thank you, Andrew and Bethany. Thank you so much. This is the Amplified Version, and I just want to highlight some things for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's start with 12. Okay? Are you okay? Well, I'll read it in the NASB, and you can put it up there in the Amplified. Verse 12 reads, chapter 3, verse 12, "Take care, brethren," here we go, "brethren, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart." You know, when I read those words, which I've read numerous times, as maybe some of you have as well, what? An evil, unbelieving heart? And this is not Old Testament? This is New Testament in Hebrews? And he's speaking to the brethren? It's like, wow, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Verse 13, "But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Okay, thanks. All right, here we go in verse 12. Now, that was NASB. Here's Amplified. "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God." Is this Amplified? Okay. Sorry? Okay, we wanted Amplified. Helper. That's okay. All right, and so I'll go ahead back in the NASB here. Verse 14, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end." So verse 13, let me back it up, says, let me know when it comes, guys. But it's up? Okay, so we are to encourage one another. Let's look at verse 13. In fact, back it up, Bethany, to verse 12. Can you do that? There you go. "Therefore, beware, brethren, take care, lest there be in any of you a wicked, unbelieving heart, which refuses," hello? Okay. "Which refuses to cleave to, trust in, and rely on him." Cleave to, trust in, and rely on him. Now, if we're saying, "Lord, I know you love me, that's all I know," he says, "Let me define what love looks like for you. Get into my word, and I will show you what this looks like so that you don't deceive yourself." Because if we stay miserable, but we're saying, "God loves me, but I'm miserable," there's a disconnect. There's something wrong. And he wants to change that inside of us. Because while we have part of the truth, we may not have the whole truth of how God wants to work with us so that we can increase while we're saying, while we're believing, while we're singing, while we're praying, "God loves me and he's accepting me." He says, "Yes, let me show you now the next step with that and open that up to help you separate the word of God so that you can see what I want to do with that." Okay. "Therefore, brethren, take care lest there be in any of you a wicked, unbelieving heart which refuses to cleave to, trust in, and rely on him, leading you to turn away and desert or stand aloof from the living God." Okay? And what? I'll just add, not adding to scripture, but from what God is saying that we can do, that we can be, and that we can have in this hour. What's he called us to do? What's he called us to be? What does he call us to have? And if any of those areas are in lack because we don't understand how to step into the next place in a situation that we might be in or what's facing us, then we might not be able to receive the full benefits of our salvation. As Jordan was saying, there's an example of the process. I don't know where things would be right now without saying, "God, I want your way no matter what." So that's just an example. Okay, but instead, warn. Now here's a warning. Admonish, urge, encourage one another every day, as long as it's called today, meaning it's not in the past, it's for now, it's a present word, that none of you may be hardened into settled rebellion. Now this is to believers. It's like, what are we in rebellion to, God? You love me. Well, if you're not following what I'm saying for you and for your life, you're rebelling against the very spirit of God inside and what my word may say. Oh, okay. I don't want to be in that place that I could possibly have a deceitfulness of sin coming towards me or rising up towards me by the fraudulence, the stratagem, the trickery which the delusive glamour of his sin may play on him. In other words, if we ignore the Holy Spirit, if we grieve the Holy Spirit, if we quench the Holy Spirit, if we decide this is what it is, and it's really not, we can become self-deceived, according to the scripture. We can think everything's fine, and it will all turn around someday as I continue to follow the path I'm on. And it may not happen that way because we've decided we're really in control instead of the Holy Spirit in control through his word, through his presence. For we have become fellows with Christ the Messiah and share in all he has for us if only we hold our first newborn confidence and original assured expectation in virtue of which we are believers, firm and unshakable to the end. Okay, can you bring 15 all the way up, please? Okay. Then while it is still called today, if you would hear his voice, and when you hear it, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion in the desert. Speaking of the Israelites who ignored God and wandered for 40 days or 40 years and didn't get to enter in to the rest, to the promised land. In the desert, when people provoked and irritated and embittered God against them, for who were they? For who were they who heard and yet were rebellious and provoked him? Was it not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Verse 17. And with whom was he irritated and provoked and grieved for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose dismembered bodies were strewn and left in the desert? And to whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest? But to those who disobeyed, who had not listened to his word, and who refused to be compliant or be persuaded. Right there, can you back it up? Compliant and persuaded. One thing when I saw those words, thank you, Rebecca. When I saw those words, I said to the Lord, Lord, I desperately want to be compliant, and I want to be persuaded by you in your word. I want your presence to so consume me that I will easily comply with what your word and your presence together, spirit and truth, are telling me and speaking to me. Not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly, because I want to be fervent. I don't want to deceive myself. I really want to know what you say, because all what you say ultimately is what goes and what matters, right? Isn't that good news? So I want to be compliant, and I want to be persuaded by your word. So we see that they were not able to enter into his rest because of their unwillingness to adhere to and trust in and rely on God. Why? Because the scripture says unbelief had shut them out from rest. And so when we look at the Israelites, we say, well, I don't want to be like them. But the Lord says, here we are in Hebrews, written close to 70 AD, not exactly known, and the author, many people say it could be Paul, but his style doesn't sound like Paul. So there's a lot of debate as to who it could be. So depending on where you're getting your information and who you're listening to, you might hear different people say different things. But we do know that this powerful word from the Lord for us is telling us that we can become very non-compliant and non-persuaded by our own shortcomings and maybe even from others around us. I don't know, different places. And the Lord says, that's not a safe place to be. There you will not enter into my rest. So what does rest look like? Let's take a look, a few more scriptures, and I'm going to implore you to read this on your own and then pick it up next time I preach because of the time here. But the Lord wants us to enter into this place of rest and actually develops in the first couple of chapters just this beautiful picture of who Jesus is, the deity of the Lord, and how he is stronger and better and higher and more on every front than any other opportunity, be it angels or be it man or any other creation of the Lord, and that he is who he says he is. And we will go back to that. We're not skipping over. We are for today, but we're not skipping over Hebrews 1 and 2 and part the first part of 3. But I do want to touch on Hebrews 4 before we close, because I think it's very significant here. So the Lord wants us to enter into this rest where we must contend to actually enter into a place where we're actually connecting with the promise of God that says, when you enter into that place of, you will cease working, you will cease striving. Sometimes we're go, 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 and then we don't stop. But here's the catch. When we're really entering into the promises of God for proper resting, we will be able to rest in the Lord, and then we will rise up and go and release. We will be able to do that. But if we've been disheartened, disillusioned, discouraged, or even burned out, where we are not so burning, we're not so fervent, we're not so boiling over, we're not such a burning torch, we may so pull back on the very things that God has said, listen, I've called you to build, and you've completely dropped it because you were more burned out, not because I told you to drop it. Go back and check things out with me. You know, God is saying he's not looking to bring destruction on us. As Cameron said, it was so beautiful. He didn't say, let's just break Cameron's leg here. He wants to bless us. And so when we come together as burning coals and embers, he's saying, okay, kids, make sure that you're not striving, okay, in saying, okay, God, I'll do this to please you because I need to feel good about myself and maybe you'll love me more. That's striving. But building together is the Lord. And he's not calling us to drop what we have started. He wants us to take a look and take a look at what we're doing. And if we've done a complete 180, there might be something going on that he wants to address on the inside of us. Sometimes we think that we'll find comfort in other voices and say, well, they think so, and they think so, and they think so, but it may not be what the Holy Spirit is saying, and that's still another danger. So what we want to do is contend for the true rest of God, where we're resting in him, so connecting with him that the supernatural is very normal because we're operating that way. Things are happening, and we have eyes to see that we're going to continue to build up what he has said to build and not quit. Quitting is not the Lord. Never, never, never quit. But at the same time, sure, can he change and move and adjust? Yes. But what he does will always bring other blessings on more people. Blessing in some way, if we're doing it God's way. And so we need to think about that because we are collaboratively called together to increase the unity of heart in our families, in our church, in our job places. I was talking to Peter this week about that. Do everything in your job as to unto the Lord. Honor your boss. Honor what he's called you to do. And perform well because you've given it to the Holy Spirit. And that performance is good because they're paying you to perform well. That's not striving. That's doing what they ask you to do. So when the Holy Spirit inside is saying, I'm asking you to do what I'm asking you to do. Why are you saying no? So this is the type of rest that God wants to bring us in. And Hebrews 4 is just loaded with his heart for us to be able to rest. The Lord created the world in 6 days, rested on the seventh. The Lord says, I'm going to bring you into a Sabbath rest where you are living in a state of, not that you're not pushing through. There'll be seasons where, we're all coming together saying, all right, Lord, you're saying this, let's go. And then we stop and we rest and we play. And let's go. So we soak and we go. We rest and we soak and we go. We need that time of refreshing as well. And we need to learn these. These are disciplines and skills in the kingdom. We need to learn how to do kingdom. And when we say, God, make me a resting place, watch out, because he will. He likes that kind of prayer. So let's just do a few more and then we'll wrap it up for today. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still holds and is offered today, let us be afraid to distrust it, lest any of you should think he has come too late and has come short of reaching it. Verse 2. For indeed we have had the glad tidings, the gospel of God, proclaimed to us just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them, because it was not mixed with faith. Now let's listen to that. It didn't benefit them because it wasn't mixed with faith. It didn't benefit them. In other words, you can read this and it won't benefit you unless it's mixed with faith. With the leaning of the entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness by those who heard it. Neither were they united in faith with the ones who did hear and believe, Joshua and Caleb, who heard and believed. In other words, if we don't enter into proper rest in faith in the way that God says, there will be a disconnect with those who are. It's a spiritual disconnect. God says love everybody, but there will be antagonism in the spirit. And it won't feel so swell. It'll be felt like, why is it like, ugh? Here's a scripture. So when we receive this by faith, there will be this drawing towards other burning embers that are saying, I want to lay down. I want to lower myself. I want to die to myself. I don't belong to myself. I want to say, Lord, here I am. I'm posturing myself to lay down. I'm going to rest, but I'm going to listen, and I'm going to go lower and lower and lower as I trust and believe that you love me and you care about me. Lower in confidence that you're going to say, that's the good place to be so I can really be in charge. I can really be in control. You don't have to walk around with addictions anymore. I have freed you from that. So why are you? No, it's not my saying, why are you? It's the Lord saying that. Do you understand? We can clap at the Lord. Clap for the Lord. I believe you're doing that. So addictions to what? Anything that is going to take the place of this kind of rest with the Father. It's not just the obvious addictions, though there are other addictions, and you can name them. It's like, why? What does that mean? Anything that keeps us away from this kind of connection. I have so much more in this, but I think the time is ripe here. So let's finish it with Hebrews 4:12. But would you please read this throughout the week? Read it in the version. Read it in the Message. Read it in Amplified if you have it. Read it in NASB or whatever version you have. Read the whole chapter on rest and say, Lord, I'd like to discover what rest really looks like. And verse 12 says, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Come on. So as we soak and lay in God's presence, that's nice. And we need to rest that way. We need to be in his word clearly and say, help me with that. If anybody who is honey with worship, if we wanted to have some backup here, that'd be great. I was with some ladies yesterday morning, awesome women of God. You are. And I wanted to say, one thing I challenged them with at the very end was, if you really want to understand more of the nature of what it looks like to obey God's word, find the most challenging verses, the most controversial verses in the Bible for you, where you have declared and decreed, I like what this author says, so therefore, that's what I'm going to do. And I like what that author says, that's what I'm going to do. Take a fresh look, rest in the Lord, and say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? There are hard things here, because radical love is radical obedience. So when we're radically obeying the word of God, the hard parts, the ones that we don't like hearing, whatever they would be, you can name them. God says, if you go there and say, Lord, would you make those real to me, for me? I want to obey you, not out of a striving, yes, sir, boss, but yes, sir, boss, I'm in love with you. It's still yes, sir, boss, but because I'm in love with you, you see? It's not just this. It is this, though. With I love you. I'm in love with you. I'm in love with you. For those who are listening online, I'm just saluting here as we would to a commander. Yes, Holy Spirit, you're my commander. Amen? So let's contend to enter into a place of peace and rest and using the scripture to define what that will look like and being sure that we want to grab that kind of lifestyle for ourselves. Okay? And I would say that as we close here, I'm just inviting you to not be distracted from what the Holy Spirit would say to you, because He is speaking. He is speaking right now. So let's just worship Him and let Him speak to our hearts right now. Just speak, Holy Spirit, right now. It's so easy to tune out what God is. He's really here. He's really moving. And He doesn't want us to receive. He wants us to just go, that was nice, with our brain. So Holy Spirit, thank you for having your way inside of us. We are determined right now. We are determined, Lord, to become a resting place for you. Lord, we are determined to contend for that rest. To contend for that rest, Father, to be persuaded that there's a place of rest found in your heart that we've yet to fully experience. But Lord, we're moving that direction more and more and more. A place of a holy ha in your heart. We're contending for that. We're being persuaded by your word, by your very spirit here amongst us right now, that this is what you have for us so that we can truly burn with a yearning sense of, Lord, I want you. I'm desperate for you. But Lord, I want to come into that place of holy, righteous living that results from the rest that you give my soul. You give my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, my body. Rest in you as I am quiet to hear you, as I lay down before you, as I offer myself to you and say, I surrender more and more and more and more to you, to your ways, to your heart, to your love, to your will, to your portion, to your plans, to your purposes. I want to know you as that safe one, as that holy Papa, as that great and mighty Jesus, as Holy Spirit, you fiery one living on the inside of me, that I'm desperate to cry out for you, cry out to you, cry out for more of you. Lord, that I want to just contend and open myself up and lay down before you. Here I am. I want you and spending time with you above all else is what drives me, Lord. You were created. I was created for love, and you created me to be driven by your love into a passionate pursuit of you. And Lord, I'm willing to move in the direction that you have for me, because your heart in me is so alive and so burning. How I am boiling over, Lord, with that place of rest where there's no striving, where the apple falls from the tree and things start to move and change. And then I hear what you're saying and move in tandem with the very next step of your presence. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Holy One. This is the place where you eradicate the fears. You move the very things that hinder my joy in you out. This is the place of a holy resolve that nothing will be able to keep me from the very power and presence that you have to run through me. Run through me so I can finish my journey, that I can finish the race. But I need to rest, and I need to play, and I need to be enjoyed by you. I need to enjoy you. But this will drive me, Lord, into greater times of prayer and intercession and encounter with you, because I'm desperate for closeness. This is a new place of intimacy that you're taking me, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you for the quality of your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you that the temple inside of me is your burning dwelling place of rest. Thank you, Lord, that you're finding, you're searching for, and you're finding me as a place where you can fully rest and release through me. Thank you, Lord, that I will know the seasons of release and the time to release as I rest. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One, that your fire is here right now. Let's just sing out to him right now. Just receive right now. Just receive and rest. Rest. Rest for your weary minds and hearts and souls and bodies. Thank you, Lord. This is the place of contentment. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And I will praise.
Thank you, Jesus. Wow, thank you, Jesus.
I pray.
Just rest in him. He's speaking right now to you.
I will pray.
Wow, just listen to him. He's drawing you in closely to his heart. His heartbeat is increasing for each one of us right now. No worries, no fears. No worries or fears in the heart of our Papa. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
And I will pray.
Thank you, Jesus.
Your name. Forever.
Jesus.
Give you the glory.
Yes,
for all eternity. Yes, I will pray.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that place, Lord. Thank you for that supernatural place. In your heart, Lord, so close, so safe.
Worship.
Thank you, Lord.
Your presence,
so personal,
your
so intimate, so strong, so overwhelming, so overwhelming. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Worship you always.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You are the Son of God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Fearless in your life.
Thank you, Lord.
And I will pray.
Jesus,
your name.
Just bless you today. Just go out in the glory and power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave and go into your homes and back to your workplaces, just carry the goodness of God, overwhelming and changing and transforming each one of us right now in his presence, where we can let down and release the very things that hold and just contend for rest. 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 Ask him, what does rest look like? Ask him that. Wow.
Your majesty.
God bless you. God bless you. Have a good week. God bless you all.